Jesus Christ. And a lot of people let out the breath they'd been holding. At our table, Bobby Ruslander reached for a cigarette and said, "Sounded like a bomb." Skip DeVoe said, "Cherry bomb." "Is that all?" "It's enough," Skip said. "Cherry bomb's major ordnance. Same charge had a metal casing instead of a paper wrapper, you'd have a weapon instead of a toy. You light one of those little mothers and forget to let go of it, you're going to have to learn to do a lot of basic things left-handed." "Sounded more like dynamite or a grenade or something. Sounded like fucking World War III, if you want to know," Bobby insisted. "Get the actor," Skip said affectionately. "Don't you love this guy? Fighting it out in the trenches, storming the windswept hills, slogging through the mud. Bobby Ruslander, battle-scarred veteran of 1,000 campaigns." "You mean bottle-scarred," somebody said. "Fucking actor," Skip said, reaching to rumple Bobby's hair. "Hark, I hear the cannons roar. You know that joke?" "I told you the joke." "Hark, I hear the cannons roar." "When did you ever hear a shot fired in anger? Last time they had a war," he said. "Bobby brought a note from a shrink. Dear Uncle Sam, please excuse Bobby's absence. Bullets make him crazy." "My old man's idea," Bobby said. "But you tried to talk him out of it. Give me a gun, you said. I want to serve my country." Bobby laughed. He had one arm around his girl and picked up his drink with his free hand. He said, "All I said was it sounded like dynamite to me." Skip shook his head. "Dynamite is different. They're all different. Different kinds of a bang. Dynamite's like one loud note and a flatter sound than a cherry bomb. They all make a different sound. Grenades, completely different. It's like a chord." "The lost chord," somebody said, and somebody else said, "Listen to this, it's poetry." "I was going to call my joint horseshoes and hand grenades," Skip said. "You know what they say, coming close don't count outside of horseshoes and hand grenades." "It's a good name," Billy Keegan said. "My partner hated it," Skip said. "Fucking Kasabian, he said it didn't sound like a saloon. Sounded like some kind of candy-ass boutique. Some store in Soho sells toys for private school kids." "I don't know, though. Horseshoes and hand grenades. I still like the sound of it." "Horse shit and hand jobs," somebody said. "Maybe Kasabian was right, if that's what everybody would have wound up calling it." To Bobby, he said, "You want to talk about the different sounds they make, you should hear a mortar. Someday, get Kasabian to tell you about the mortar. It's a hell of a story." "I'll do that." "Horseshoes and hand grenades," Skip said. "That's what we should have called the joint." Instead, he and his partner had called their place Miss Kitty's. Most people assumed a reference to Gunsmoke, but their inspiration had been a whorehouse in Saigon. I did most of my own drinking at Jimmy Armstrong's on 9th Avenue between 57th and 58th. Miss Kitty's was on 9th just below 56th, and it was a little larger and more boisterous than I liked. I stayed away from it on weekends, but late on a weekday night, when the crowd thinned down and the noise level dropped, it wasn't a bad place to be. I'd been in there earlier that night. I had gone first to Armstrong's, and around 2:30 there were only four of us left. Billy Keegan behind the bar and I in front of it, and a couple of nurses who were pretty far gone on Black Russians. Billy locked up and the nurses staggered off into the night, and the two of us went down to Miss Kitty's, and a little before four, Skip closed up too, and a handful of us went on down to Morrissey's. Morrissey's wouldn't close until 9 or 10 in the morning. The legal closing hours for bars in the city of New York is 4 a.m., an hour earlier on Saturday nights. But Morrissey's was an illegal establishment and was thus not bound by regulations of that sort. It was one flight up from street level, in one of a block of four stories.